We're going to be able to proceed with our recording and interview with Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan. Welcome in, Mayor, in the rain. I appreciate you trekking through some mud and rain in this case as you had to come through the Church Street Infrastructure Project. Good morning.
Good morning, Lori. I've just had to do what everybody has to do every single day that works on this road.
That's right. And, you know, we try not to complain because it's progress. Just give us an overview again. For those that may be wondering, what's going on with now on North Church Street between Fairhope and Magnolia?
Right. It is a utility infrastructure project and stormwater project. So basically that goes from Oak at the treatment plant all the way down to Fells. And we are, you know, replacing lines and working on the the force mains to the treatment plant. So hopefully it's an 18-month project, which we have been working on for probably, 9 months or so?
Right.
Yeah, so we've still got a little ways to go, and hopefully we're hoping that it'll start going a little bit quicker. We've come up with some processes that are helping that, but the lines are a little bit smaller as we head south towards Fells, and we will have all this buttoned up for all of our events that are coming up, so people don't have to worry about, you know, Church Street not being open for Mardi Gras or for arts and crafts.
That's what we're excited about. And then as it proceeds through Fairhope Avenue, that portion will be postponed for Mardi Gras and arts and crafts as well.
That's correct.
Right? Okay. All right. And while we're not on the agenda yet, a couple of other things, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Can you explain what's going on with the Fairhope Airport Authority? We saw in the news that hangar rental agreements were canceled. And there was a special meeting last week.
There was, and that's basically what they've done is Continental and the Airport Authority are getting back together to talk about some negotiations. There was some action taken that would have resulted in Continental possibly no longer providing services at the Fairhope Airport.
Do they manage it now, like the lease
they do.
Requirements, et cetera?
They do have some operations there. They do some repair and maintenance and operate the fuel and the FBO. But I think that now things are going back to negotiations. I think we'll be able to work out something. We were afraid that we were not going to, but I think we'll be able to.
Okay. And so they, though, manage the day-to-day operations along with the Fairhope Airport Authority. Is that how Continental is involved, kind of?
Kind of, yes. Somewhat. I mean, again, there's clear delineation of what the Airport Authority runs and what Continental does right now. But again, that's going to be in some negotiations, so we'll see how that shakes out.
Okay. And one other thing off the agenda, if you don't mind, from last night's meeting, I saw a TV article that said a petition filed concerning the Gully Bluff stabilization. And in an earlier December meeting, y'all agreed to move forward with the North Summit Street Bank Stabilization Project, getting a lot of grant money, but still leaving the city with, around $300,000 expenses. And then I saw Councilman Jack Burrell say something about, I missed part of the story. Can you just explain what's going on? I'm thinking it has to do with a municipality working on private land.
So there are two gully projects we're actually looking at right now, are issues that involve erosion of a gully. One is right there at Fairhope Avenue on Cliff, that gully that's right there, and on the Bay Road. That one, we did an NRCS project there, which allowed us to do some stabilization of that gully several years ago. So we did half the gully, but not all of it, and that's continuing to erode, which is impacting the properties there. So the gully is our property, the same as the gully that abuts the Summit Street property is our property. So we have we are possibly going to partner with that private property owner. They've agreed to share some cost on the one on Cliff to be able to finish out that project and stabilize that gully so it does not impact that private residence. So that's a great thing, I mean, that we can work together with them, because we've already touched that. We've already, you know, mitigated that, so we need to finish that project out. The one over on Summit is, again, another federally funded grant program, NRCS project, and it is, again, for the stabilization of that bluff because it's eroding away. So it's impacting basically the backyards of those private property owners. With NRCS, it does give you the ability to partner with the private property owners, not to do work on their property, but to partner financially with them because there is a match. So you can partner financially with the property owners. We've also talked to Single Tax about possibly their involvement in that project to help us with the match. But it has to do with the gullies impacting private properties.
And what about the petition? Who filed the petition? Do you know
what that is?
I haven't
seen that article. I haven't seen the petition, Lori, so I'm not really sure.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll wait and see on that then. And let's move on to last night's meeting then. Anything that you wanted to tell us in your report of the mayor?
Really, I just talked about the comp plan meetings that are coming up. We have a couple of those this week. Continuing to work on that comprehensive plan or the land use plan to plan for the future of Fairhope, the vision that our residents currently have and how we'll develop that plan.
You've got one today at 1 o'clock.
Right, and one tomorrow.
Fairhope Rec Center and tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm.
And at the Dahlgren Hall. On Coastal Alabama's campus.
And then I love the youth involvement.
Right. We have a youth engagement meeting tomorrow night at 6 o'clock at Fairhope High School. You know, we have a junior city council, and they're great to work with, and just thought this was a good opportunity to hear from the people who are going to be the future of Fairhope.
Uh-huh.
So really looking forward to that meeting as well. And then also I reminded everybody about the State of the City on February the 10th.
Yes, February 10th, which will be here before you know it.
I know. It's going
crazy.
Fast.
I know it. And last night, as we go down the agenda, number 9 caught my interest. It's an ordinance amending the mission of the Historic Preservation Committee. What can you tell us about that?
So, you know, historic preservation has for a long time been a... you know, been a topic of interest here in Fairhope, because there's a lot of these little cottages that people come in and buy the property and tear them down, and people think they're historic. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not, but they're these quaint little cottages, and people just want to build a bigger house or whatever. And sometimes it's not cost effective to save those properties. So the Historic Preservation realizes that, you know, Fairhope's not ready to move forward with a historic commission or to put more teeth into an ordinance, because people who live in Alabama feel very strongly about property rights, and they feel like if they buy a piece of property, it's their right to do with it as they see fit. But this mission kind of gives that Historic Preservation Committee, it just basically says that they will educate, there'll be public outreach, they'll provide information to property owners about state and national incentives, preservation, and help residents and business owners secure tax credits to protect these properties that are in registered historic, you know, areas, designated areas. So it's not a lot of government overreach. It basically says, you know, we want to help educate, we want to help people save these structures without people feeling like we're infringing upon their property rights.
Okay. Mobile, on the other hand, has a Historic Preservation Committee and ordinances that apply.
Correct.
Even to the extent of paint color. And that's been a big contentious issue here, yes, off and on for many years.
Yes, and there's even other parts of Baldwin County who have that. You know, and to be honest, I mean, historic preservation, when you talk about paint colors, there's a wide variety of paint colors you can use. But somebody who really wants to preserve their piece of property, you know, now this commission will work with them to help them, to guide them in the right direction when tax credits and that kind of stuff, but will not tell them what color they can paint it.
Right.
Or those kind
or
of
Or how they can restore.
Right, how if, they can if, restore
yeah,
it.
If you want the but assistance, if, how it's to be done.
But okay, if you want the tax credits, you do have to follow those, mm-hmm, you know, some guidelines. So they'll help educate folks on that.
Okay. Number 11, selection of Sawgrass Consulting to perform professional engineering service for an athletic track and additional parking at the Founders Park project.
Right.
Founders is the one at the tennis courts?
No, it's behind the high school.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
behind
the
high
names
school.
Of those mixed
off
up.
Off of 44 there on Founders Drive.
Right, okay.
We have plans to put a regulation track there that will be able to be used by the general public, but will also be able to be used by the schools for track meets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we haven't had a track in Fairhope for a number of years because the track at the football stadium is not wide enough. You have to have 8 lanes, and we can't expand that because of drainage at the stadium. So planning to build a track there at Founders. This will be a partnership between the city, single tax, and the school board. But one thing we're going to also look at, I do think there are some companies that we can look at that do turnkey projects that include the engineering. So before we move forward with any of this, you'll probably see a little bit more conversation about kind of doing a little bit of investigation and see if we can find those companies who do nothing but build tracks and will provide, mm-hmm, all the professional services in with the package.
Okay. Looks like number 17, storm damage and repair to the Fairhope Avenue water tank due to an AT&T cell tower damage from Hurricane Sally.
Correct. That is where the AT&T antenna fell off and damaged the water tank. So we are having that repaired. It is a $44,000 expense that we will submit to AT&T for reimbursement.
Ah, good. That you read my mind, didn't you? There's a lot of budgeted purchases, tractors and trucks, etc., on the agenda. Oh, I found a big number. Number 23. Mm-hmm. At the City Council Award Amendment Number 3, Sewer Main Point Repair and Bypass Connections to W.R. Mitchell Contractor, and authorize Mayor Sherry Sullivan to execute the amendment for a contract increase for year number 3, not to exceed a total of $500,000. Corey Martin did a pretty good job of explaining this yesterday. Do you mind, for those that missed it, to explain it again?
Not at all. So this contract, it did not increase the cost of the contract. The contract had already been approved for $500,000. Actually, it was actually a little bit more than that. But basically what they did was it was a not to exceed $250,000 each year for 3 years. We did not spend all the money in the first year or the second year, so basically it's just saying that we can amend that $250,000 to $500,000 in the third year.
If you need it. If he said it was like an on-call emergency repair.
It is, and there's okay. A couple, to be honest, there's a couple projects that we're getting ready to do that we know we're going to need their services. We just don't have the staff to do it right now. Or the time to do it with as fast as everything's moving. So we do know there are a couple projects that we're going to have to use them for.
Okay. And 25 and 26 are interesting because 500 meters and 500 ERTs for the gas department were purchased apparently from another city.
They were. So in 2020, we put an order in to purchase 400 gas meters, a little over 400 gas meters, and we have yet to receive those. So, you know, we have been relying on the inventory we have in stock. We have been visiting homes or businesses that the meters might not be in operation anymore, pulling those meters off, refurbishing them, and installing them. We are down to, you know, a very few gas meters. So, and we continue to follow up with the company that we've ordered from because of COVID and supply chain, you know, issues. We have yet to receive those. So we reached out to ANGA, the Alabama Natural Gas Association, and looked to other places that may be able to help us with these meters, the meters that we use. And so we have, you know, found a couple municipalities that use the same meters that are able, have a huge supply, and are able to share those with us. So we are purchasing 500 from the city of Florence. The ERTs are the electronic reading technology that goes on these meters. You have to purchase that separately. So we're purchasing that separately, but it's just a module you add to the meters to allow us to read them electronically.
How difficult has it been for the city when it comes to supply and demand and being able to get products and equipment and things that you need?
It's a challenge right now, to be perfectly honest. We are, you know, electric transformers, we're talking 52 weeks out, if not longer. Again, gas meters. Things, small pieces and parts are what we're really having problems with, things that take those small pieces. We have 3 police Tahoes that have been sitting waiting on a chip for close to 18 months. So there's a lot of supply chain issues that we're dealing with right now. That's one thing that you'll see on the council agenda that we say, you know, when we ask for, especially with the trucks and stuff, or equivalent, or not to exceed that amount, so it allows us to go to another vendor. Because a lot of times, by the time we put the trucks and stuff or equipment on the agenda, it's sold out from underneath us.
Right.
So we have to go find another product. So we ask the council to say an equivalent product, you know, not to exceed this amount, which allows us that flexibility, because sometimes we can't even wait the 2 weeks to get on a council agenda, and our deadlines are sooner than the agenda happens. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't give us much time in between. So it has been a challenge, that and, you know, staffing right now. We, you know, we have quite a few employees who've been out with COVID yet again.
You read my mind. Yeah, that was some my of them. Question.
You know, some of them had it before and now they have it again. So it presents challenges, and I appreciate, you know, the public being, you know, being patient with us. We posted something yesterday about a garbage truck. You know, that's the other thing. We've been down 2 trash trucks waiting on delivery of other trash trucks. Richard Johnson did a good job covering that last night. But it has been a challenge to manage the services that you have to provide with the supply chain issues and staffing issues.
And the staffing issues, you still need a human resources manager?
We do. Mm-hmm.
And a city planner.
Yes, one additional city planner. We have hired one, but we're trying to hire another one.
Among other positions. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And they can go to fairhopeal.gov, and you'll see the employment icon
That's
when
right.
you scroll down a little bit. What else would you like to mention that I haven't thought
see.
To ask? I really...
One thing that you'll see coming up that was on the work session was the Junior City Council has been working on a project to do a crosswalk on Bancroft between the Coastal Alabama Science Building, the Borum Building, over to Johnson.
Okay.
Right there. So they've been working on a design for that. Really excited about that. There'll be a resolution on the. They did their presentation last night, and there'll be a resolution on the next council meeting to approve funds for them to do that.
How much do they want? What kind of crosswalk?
Just like $500. And it's basically a crosswalk. And
that will paint.
It's going to paint, mm-hmm. but it's going to be artistic. So real excited about it. It'll be a great mm-hmm. addition to that area. And then the other thing, there was a lot of discussion last night about short-term rentals in residential areas.
I'm glad you brought that up. I missed that.
Yes.
Because if I understand now, depending on the zone you're in, you cannot do an Airbnb or a Vrbo. You have to rent for 30 days or longer.
Correct.
And is that not an antiquated law that should be looked at again in today's world? Or are you concerned about losing the neighborhood charm? And
you know, if you're in a subdivision, a lot of the regulations of the HOA won't allow you to do it. They'll only allow for
subdivision. We're talking about the city ordinance,
right? But we're talking about the city ordinance. But if you're in a residential area that doesn't have an HOA, like me, I'm in a neighborhood. I really don't want 12 different people in and out next to me all year long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and technically, right now they could do that, because what happens when you have somebody who has an Airbnb? Typically, they're coming to town maybe for a wedding or whatever it might be. So they might rent for two or three nights, and then you have the next week you have another two or three people in, and then they invite friends over. Then you have all these people in your neighborhood that you don't know who they are. You know, and to me, that's just not safe. And I don't think a lot of people like it. So you have to, if you live in an area that is zoned R2, you cannot operate an Airbnb that's not longer than 30 days. If it's 31 days, that rental is fine, but you can't do anything that would be shorter terms than 30 days.
And that does not include downtown in the
it
central
does not.
Business
in the central
district.
That's correct. So central business district, or if you are zoned, I think it's B2 and B3, you can do that. You have that opportunity in other areas, but not in R2.
So tell us about last night. I apologize. I missed that part. What was the discussion? What were the complaints?
The complaints are, again, that you have, apparently several years ago they addressed this at the city council, and there were a lot of people who spoke out. They did not want Airbnbs or VRBOs.
Short-term rentals.
Right,
yeah.
Operated next door to folks. So that's why they purchased their home where they did. It was R2 zoned. So people, if you're planning on buying something, we have a lot of people who are just buying investment property right now, or, buying things sight unseen. They think they're going to turn it into an Airbnb. Make sure you know your zoning. Make sure you know the rules and regulations for short-term rentals.
I know of at least one entity that appears to be renting homes short-term in the wrong area. Was it individuals or businesses or both, or was anyone named?
No, they weren't named. We just basically talked about, made sure the city council was still on board with the enforcement of that ordinance, asking if they wanted to, tighten the rules up on it. Because basically, if somebody's operating an Airbnb in a neighborhood, it takes almost 6 months to kind of resolve those issues if they won't follow the rules, because technically what we end up having to do is take them to court. We can send them a letter and say, hey, you're violating this, but if they continue to do it, then the only thing that we can do at this point is follow the process and take them to court. So it's about a six-month process.
Okay.
So we talked a little bit about fines. I think Hunter Simmons, the planner, is going to bring back some wording on that ordinance.
Are there already in fines in place?
There's some fines in place, okay. But it goes through the court for those fines.
I see.
$500.
So you want to strengthen it through
Correct.
The city
Correct.
Before court.
Correct.
Okay.
Before we have to get to that point. But again, I would just caution people, if you're going to buy property that you think you're going to turn into an Airbnb, just make sure that you know the zoning. Our staff, code enforcement, does spend a lot of time, during the year, I think, browsing Airbnbs and mm-hmm. VRBO, but a lot of times it's just neighborhood complaints, neighbor complaints. People will call and complain that I think my neighbor's running an Airbnb or VRBO, and they have to check them out.
It can be confusing. For instance, the Central Business District. Mm-hmm. I mean, does that go down to the water?
The Bay Road, most of that area in the Bay Road is going to, you're able to run Airbnbs on.
Hmm.
So again, it's really important if you're going to buy property that you know how you're zoned.
You're meaning Mobile Street, South Mobile Street,
correct?
Which really doesn't have businesses.
It doesn't. It's residential, but there's some
several bed and breakfasts.
Correct.
How is that different from a Airbnb or VRBO? It's their zoning.
Well, they're zoned that way. Yeah. Huh. That's what I said. Make sure you know your zoning.
Very good advice for someone looking to invest in rental property, for sure. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan joining us the second and fourth Tuesday following Fairhope City Council meetings, the second and fourth Monday.